Welcome to Whiskey Congress. We are back in session. I'm Jim. Steve?
I'm Steve.
How you doing, man?
Good.
So we are WhiskeyCongress.com. We are at Whiskey Congress on pretty much all social media venues, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, we're there. We are available on iTunes, on Stitcher.
If you're watching on YouTube, click subscribe.
We are available on YouTube. Please subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes and wherever
else. We're going to work on the intro, guys. We're working on it.
But, yeah,
we're young. This is new. A little bit. So anyway, let's...
Also, you can email us. You can email me at jim@whiskeycongress.com. You can email Steve at steve@whiskeycongress.com. Mm-hmm. So reach out to us, Twitter, email, whatever. We look forward to hearing from you. Busy week.
Right. Interesting week. We actually spent part of the week out of town in the same town earlier this week. And so...
Which, by the way, marks the third state we've had beverages together in the last 3 weeks.
Right.
We've had drinks in Ohio, Nevada, and now Maryland.
So we should... maybe we'll keep a tally of that.
Should you keep doing that? Try to do the 50-state tour with just you and I?
That's kind of weird. I can tell you we're not going to make it to Alaska. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. Anyway... So a lot going on this week from a political standpoint, a sports standpoint, society standpoint, all sorts of things kind of jumped off this week. And so we'll start with our commander in chief, Donald J. Trump. He got on Twitter again and started firing off directly at the crew, the morning crew from Morning Joe on MSNBC. He had some, you know, initial comments, Crazy Joe and low IQ, Micah Brzezinski. And then he went a little weird, right?
I'll perfect the imitation before I start doing it, but he basically said, if they don't want to be around me, why do they come to my thing in Mar-a-Lago while her face was bleeding from plastic surgery?
It's like, yeah, I mean, we're,
what are you trying to do?
Yeah, we're paraphrasing here, and chances are you've heard what he said by now or what he tweeted. I don't even completely understand what point he was trying to convey. I get what he was trying to convey, right?
Is it an embarrassment thing? It's like,
well, they were criticizing him relatively harshly, like they tend to do on MSNBC. He didn't like it, so he wanted to point out that earlier in the year, they tried to come to one of his events, probably like a New Year's Eve or a New Year's bash.
I think that's exactly right, actually.
At Mar-a-Lago. He brought in the fact that Micah Brazil had a facelift and was apparently still bleeding. And so because of that, he said, no, what does that have to do with anything? And this is what I want to point out. Trump as a reality TV star having a Twitter account is entertainment. You're watching a 70-plus-year-old man on Twitter just be insane, right? Which, before, it was funny. Now you're the commander-in-chief. Now you're the leader of the free world. Now there's a certain level of humility and respectability that needs to be conveyed.
I would say expected, but I don't think
it is expected. He's completely disregarding the norms of the position of president that we've come to expect over the last 200 years that we've been a nation.
Exactly.
From George Washington to Barack Obama, there's been a certain level of deference and humility that has held that office, and he is completely punting on it and saying, I can do what I want. I don't care. I play by my own rules. And the fact that no one can check him and get him to see that, I don't care what you, I don't, for me, it's frustrating because he always goes to the, no one's been attacked more than me. When you can look at the last two presidents that we've had, Barack Obama, I guarantee you it's not even close. Just the personal attacks from, Donald Trump's best buddy, Sean Hannity. The thing Sean Hannity said about Barack Obama not being an American citizen, not being born in America, being a Muslim.
Think of Donald Trump said about that. Or Donald
right,
Trump
even as, right. But, who was Donald Trump at the time?
He was a TV host and whatever.
He was a sideshow.
We heard it.
Sean Hannity had a voice in the media. And we could talk about kind of the media's role as journalists and the media's role as, people who opine about politics and how those lines are blurring and why that matters. And maybe we'll get into that. Maybe we won't. But I just think that's where I get frustrated, because he's allowed to live in this crazy land where he is the most victimized, but yet he is the smartest and toughest, yet he's also the weakest and most sensitive, and no one can check him. No one can kind of throw it in his face like, you're so full of shit.
There are so many examples. There's so much in the record books that, to me, seems to be getting just pushed aside. I know I've said this to you before, but the most telling one to me was Fox News. Michelle Obama was giving a speech, and in that speech, she was being introduced by Barack Obama. Obviously, Obama is president at the time. As he hands over the podium to her, they fist bump. Fox News actually, and please look this up.
Oh, I remember.
Google Obama's terrorist fist jab. Right. They didn't say it was. They asked the question, is this exchange between the president and the first lady a terrorist fist jab? I mean, if that's not, that shit was said from them fist bumping. Now, right. Trump gets on there. We're not judging him on.
I thought it was a gang
violence. Terrorist fist jab. I mean.
Because he did. He had a more down home handshake with someone, and they equated it to a gang handshake.
Common came into the White House, and, like, he's bringing thugs in the White House. And I mean, I know you're not a fan of Bill Maher, but Bill Maher had a great line. He said, the guy was in date night.
Right. Common is about as thuggish as you are.
That was a jab, not a terrorist fist jab.
Exactly.
I'm going to take that as a compliment, even though I know it was the furthest thing from it.
Not furthest thing, but it was quite a compliment.
It's pretty far from it. But anyway, I mean, that shit got happened every day. The birth certificate.
Of course, I say that, and then Common will come pull a Wayne Brady on us.
Give me a sandwich.
Man, I don't want to go home.
Great reference.
But the point,
if you don't get it, it's on you. That was a great reference.
The point is, there's not a lot to say about this. I think it there's
there's a bunch to say, though.
Well, you're right. I don't want to breeze past it. I don't want it to dominate our show tonight. What I will say, though, is that the hypersensitivity of this president and his followers. The victim mentality of the control of the majority.
I mean,
they control everything from the top down,
both as a population mass and in the government. They have huge, and yet they're the victims. And the big thing that another big thing that I really want to say is the president engaging in personal exchanges over Twitter with media outlets over petty bullshit is just, I mean, you were saying before it's beneath the office. It absolutely is. But it's also, in my opinion, dangerous, because I'm worried about, like, there are organizations out there, there are countries out there that are looking to take advantage of our distractions and our weaknesses. And when he's more worried about Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough than North Korea and Russia, kind of bothers me.
Here's where I have an issue. I know for a fact that George W. Bush, Barack Obama, George H. Bush, or George H.W. Bush,
H.W., yeah.
Ronald Reagan, just go back. Just start picking presidents, all of them. Jimmy Carter, even Nixon. You know how they spent their mornings? They spent their mornings before briefings, all of them, reading policy papers and getting a better understanding of how our country works, how our government works, so that they could, A, speak intelligently about it to the masses, and also so that they could make decisions about it and they could be a part of the process. One of the big things where we can note is Donald Trump hasn't weighed in heavily on healthcare. He's made some, you know, pretty soundbite level comments, but nothing in depth, nothing to show that he actually understands it. Now, hold on before you go on the rampage. So attack him. He hasn't said anything of value because, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, he doesn't understand it. Now, he can go on Twitter and say, I have a great understanding, I understand it bigly, all that other stuff that he does, just abusing grammar and the English language. But the feel and the sense that I get, and I'm not the only person, there are people who make a lot more money than me who are paid to analyze this stuff and do it for the masses. the sense is that he actually doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't take the time to learn it. And you can directly point to, you're spending your time watching MSNBC, CNN, getting briefed on what people are talking about, and you specifically, what they're talking about you. And instead, you shouldn't be watching MSNBC or CNN or Fox News. I don't care. You shouldn't be watching anything. You should be reading and learning, because you don't have experience in government. You have no experience in the government whatsoever, so you should be learning how to run the country. If you're going to be the president, then be the president and do what you're supposed to do. What he's doing is not that. He's living the life of a billionaire real estate mogul who knows, I mean, and listen, he knows his real estate, he knows all that, you know, whatever, to a certain degree.
Maybe.
But I know, what we do know is that he doesn't know government. He doesn't understand the nuance of running a country, and who does? And no one can ever learn. I mean, Barack Obama is a president for 8 years, and he will tell you and said as much as, I'm not perfect. I didn't do everything perfect. There's a lot I had to learn, and you know, it's an ongoing process of learning and development. And what we're seeing is Barack Obama on a curve was probably a B-plus student in terms of of learning how to be a president. And what I'm seeing from Donald Trump is someone who's verge.
How about incomplete? Because I don't think you showed up to a class yet.
Well, right. I mean, that's perfect. You know, and I mean, and that's what's frustrating to me, because I may not like the guy, but at some point in time, I need him to turn the corner, and it needs to not be about him, and it needs to be about running this country for the greater good of the people. You may not like George Bush, you know, the second.
I don't.
But, you know, you may not like 43, but he did the best that he could, I think.
Yeah, no,
he did the best that he could.
I think he was out of his element.
Of his element, right. So is Donald Trump. But at the end, I think he did what he could with what he was given and what he had.
I'm about to say something that probably never would have been said before. I think George W. Bush was is so much more qualified than, and then that's where you'd never hear before. He at least had been a governor.
Right.
He, you know, at least had an interest in politics. I mean, I could spend 6 hours bashing the guy if you'd let me, but
I won't.
I know you, there's that, but, that aside,
and I think George Bush is, you know, Junior is, has a little bit more intelligence than we give him credit for. His look and demeanor hurt him. He's a smarter guy than he gets credit for, listening to him talk after the fact, right? You remove the emotion and you say, okay, maybe he wasn't quite as bad, all things considered. But what we're dealing with right now with Trump, there is no way anyone's going to look back, at least at this first part of his presidency, and say, he wasn't that bad. There's no way anyone's going to do that, right?
You know, see, I had dinner with some folks the other night, and I wish that was their mentality. I wish they would have said, boy,
well,
because his supporters are digging in.
They are digging
Holy
in.
Holy shit, are
but
they
I
digging
think
in.
The way things are going right now with healthcare, because what did he say about healthcare? Who
knew it was this complicated?
Well, yeah. Besides who knew it was this complicated, everyone.
Everyone but you, apparently.
You and the GOP, because they, you know, rallied against it for 8 years and then didn't have a plan to replace it. And so now the whole thing is just repeal it. And we'll put a plan in later.
And so we talked in previous shows, and you've said this to me many times, and I completely agree with you, that a lot of this is all about, let's just burn down what Obama did.
Yes.
If you repeal Obamacare for the sake of fucking repealing it, just so we can say we did it, if you're trying to check a political box so your supporters, so your supporters can say, look, he kept his promise. Look, he did what he said he was going to do. Obamacare is a disaster. And Obamacare is heavily flawed. Now, how it got that way and why.
Even Obama has said it's flawed.
Absolutely.
Democrats have said it's flawed. Chuck Schumer was just on something saying that it was flawed.
Let me do a teaser alert. I'm going to do some YouTube videos and talk about the fundamentals of healthcare that would bore the fuck out of a lot of people. So I won't try to do it in our show.
That's a hell of a teaser.
I'm going to do something that's going to bore you. I'm in marketing. I'll keep it in small bits, but there's so much misinformation out there. I heard a thing the other day about, you know, single payer means rationed healthcare. No, it doesn't. I'll stop with the lecture now.
Thank you.
I'll stop with the lecture now. Look for it on YouTube. But
listen, I want to just wrap this up by, you know, Trump and his Twitter account I believe, in my opinion, are a referendum on where we are as a country. And there's a lot of people say, "Oh, I didn't vote for Trump, and he's not my president." And well, one, yes, he is your president.
Whether you like it or not,
whether you like it or not,
as long as you're a U.S. citizen, he's your president. I plan to remain a U.S. citizen my entire life.
And where it comes in is that people are so easily controlled and manipulated by social media, right? And that's where Russia comes into play, because Russia knows that. They know how glued to their phones and tablets and computers that Americans are. They know that if they take a picture of something and they put words on it,
if Angry Cat with a Hitler mustache says it, then it must be true.
Right, a drawing with words. They know that these memes move the needle. They know that people don't have time to legitimately fact check. They know that people will take what they see on the internet and look at it and view it as gospel. So the Russians use that against us, right? Trump is using that to his advantage, right? Everyone who goes on Facebook looks at something, looks at a meme and says, "Hell yeah, that describes me," or "Hell yeah, I agree with that." And then you spread it around, right? And then you use that in your bar talk argument, or you use that in your, you know, water cooler argument at work. Guess what? You are feeding into that mentality, and
often
that is,
without fact checking anything.
Right, and that's the key. No one fact checks anything. And
we
that's
fact
what,
check some things.
That's what allows Trump to do what he's doing. That's what allows him to manipulate his base, because that's the mentality on both sides. And there's so, more of them that are rooting for him than there are of, you know, everybody else is so broken up and divided.
So Scott Walker is the governor of Wisconsin, right?
Yes, he is.
I heard an interview with him, and he said something I found interesting. He said that he encourages Trump to use Twitter and use it more because he thinks it's great for the president to have direct access to people who want to hear his message, but that he needs to treat his messages with more respect. And I can almost agree with that. I mean, Obama's on social media was very controlled, and
he wasn't on social media.
I mean, he would POTUS would tweet out, you know, "Happy 4th of July right, to my
but
fellow
he
Americans."
Wasn't on,
right. He was not interacting especially with individuals, especially with the media.
That was a well vetted intern
who said, "Can
you
write?
Right, I'm going to write this down."
Right, and writing stuff that was, you know, positive to America and you know, news oriented or social oriented, but not engaging in Twitter fights. Can you imagine Obama, and I know we say this all the time, I'm doing it now, can you imagine Obama responding to Fox News on a nightly basis?
Can you imagine Obama responding to Mitch McConnell when Mitch McConnell said, "We're going to make this a one-term president"?
Right. Mitch McConnell focusing on the wrong job, sad.
Right. I mean, can you imagine Obama responding to people that, you know, Ted Nugent, right? Can you imagine?
Trump responded to Kathy Griffin.
Exactly. There were so many people. Obama responding to Sean Hannity and everybody at Fox. Obama responding to Breitbart. Or Obama, imagine if Obama gave credentials, actual press credentials to a very, I can't even think of me and you. Right, I mean, Alex Jones,
Whiskey Congress.
Right, I mean, he gave Alex or Trump gave Alex Jones credentials to be in the White House. Right, that is the equivalent of Obama saying, "I like you guys," or that guy he did the podcast with. He actually did
Mark Maron.
Mark Maron, right? Saying, "All right, Mark Maron, you are now allowed to come into the White House and be." He did the podcast and he gave it some legitimacy, which I thought was we all thought was cool. But Mark Maron didn't get credentials to the White House, and
that was done at Mark Maron's.
No, I know exactly. Okay. That was done at his house in his garage or whatever.
Oh, so you didn't do that?
He didn't invite Mark Maron into the White House and say, "Here's a credential. You are now part of the press pool."
Right.
Where Alex Jones now in the InfoWars crew, the people who believe that there are fish people out there, or that they're putting something in the water to turn frogs and humans gay.
Happening? Here's a big part of the problem, is the media, the alternate, let me call it the alternative media for lack of a better way of saying it, or just let's just say the media in general, but particularly the Breitbarts and I'm going to throw Fox in there.
And CNN.
Let me leave CNN out of what I'm about to say. I'm definitely going to include MSNBC. I could probably say. They get away with saying shit that is disproven within hours, and yet they don't lose their credibility.
I know where you're going.
Back in the day, who was the... Always get mixed up my old white network news guys. Not Brokaw, not Jennings.
Brian Williams?
He was one, but the other...
Dan Rather.
Dan Rather lost... Dan Rather had a storied, lengthy career that ended, essentially, when he made claims about documents regarding George Bush that were not validated. They were never disproven. They were not validated. Now, you take Breitbart, Fox News. Well, let me focus on Breitbart because I'm gonna.
Let me focus on. Include MSNBC.
No, I'm gonna focus on Breitbart for this because MSNBC never claimed to have seen fish people clawing at a tank. I mean, it's one thing to say, all right. I mean, MSNBC.
I don't think Breitbart did that. Alex Jones did that.
Oh, sorry, he's not InfoWars. Sorry. All right, let me focus on InfoWars. InfoWars claimed to see that. They did the whole Pizzagate thing. They said shit that is just plain untrue and fucking crazy, and yet they don't lose their place in the line. If Tom Brokaw had said, you know, there's a sex ring going on at this pizza joint in D.C., and someone showed up there with a gun and found out, well, A, no, there's not. B, I just fired a gun in a public place to protect kids that aren't here. Tom Brokaw would be done as a legitimate source. Why isn't Alex Jones?
Alex Jones, Alex Jones isn't a legitimate source, but he's being legitimized by a president and an administration, right? I mean, that's and why? Because Alex Jones spoke favorably of Donald Trump, so Donald Trump says, now you're in my inner circle. You know, and what's interesting
our presidency has become a high school popularity contest. Well, that's
it
a problem.
Is. It is. And, I mean, we talked about it with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin knew what to say and how to say it to make Donald Trump do what he wanted him to do, and he just turned him into putty. You know? And Donald Trump's like, oh, he's a great guy. Look at this guy. He says good things about me, and he's got that whole country
over there. But he's a killer.
And he's a billionaire, and he's
rich.
But
he's a killer.
Who cares?
That lots of people matter. Are killers.
Well, what? Right. I mean, just like, so...
Which isn't technically wrong, but
here's the thing.
Not defending that.
Here's the thing with the media. The media has done this to themselves to a certain degree, right? This whole thing with fake news, and then Trump embracing these, you know, Breitbarts and Alex Jones types, because there have been multiple people in the media, at the New York Times, in the Daily News, you know. Other outlets, you're right with CNN. CNN, if you...
I mean, they've CNN, gotten things wrong.
They fired Kathy Griffin right away. The Middle Eastern guy, I can't remember his name, or maybe he wasn't Middle Eastern. I don't want to get his nationality wrong, but there was a guy who said that, you know, Donald Trump was a, you know, piece of shit. That guy got fired. And I can't think of his name right now.
He tweeted it. I want to say he was an American-Iranian. But
right.
But, all right.
A Middle Eastern
different, different like, discussion. I have a rant about that, too.
Okay. Point being, they have a standard, the people, and then, you know, we have a story, I'm pissed, but there was a story that was retracted by CNN earlier this week that had made some claims about a Russian communications company and a bank, and it ended up not being completely accurate, and only had one source, and the story made it to CNN, and that story ended up being retracted. Right,
and those people got fired.
And those people got fired, had to resign.
Right,
no, they don't work at CNN. They resigned, but I think it was one of those resign so we don't have to fire you sort of deals. But Trump was able to capitalize on that. Call it fake news, right? And every conservative is saying, see the Clinton News Network and everything else. And the problem is the media, because they didn't control themselves, they didn't check themselves. Not only, you know, prior to this. By letting some people who didn't do their job as journalists, right, you know, proper vetting and, you know, making sure there was 100% accuracy, that's what has allowed Trump to go on this whole thing of fake news, because they put things out there, like you said, that can be disproven in hours, right? And then if it can be disproven, whether you do a retraction or not, it doesn't matter. The damage is already done. And because they've done that too many times, they allow Trump and his followers and his base to go on this fake news rant. And how can I sit here and say, how can I defend that when we've got multiple stories that have come out where the information isn't quite accurate, or the story has to be retracted because it wasn't vetted
and,
properly.
And this is true. All right, so you've kind of jabbed me a few times for saying, you know, to be fair, right, left, not be political about this. Here's something I'm going to be completely apolitical about. Americans in general have gotten way too lazy in how they process arguments. So if you say something and they respond with a counterpoint that disagrees with that, even if it's not necessarily relevant. Lame example, but please allow me to run with this. I was out with people the other day, and I brought up Trump being a philanderer. And the response was, well, what about Bill Clinton? And fine, yes, Bill Clinton was also a philanderer, but you guys were offended by this when it was Clinton. Why aren't you with Trump? They're like, well, you are with Trump. Why weren't you with Clinton? Well, I never defended Clinton on that. I don't give a shit where either of them spend their after hour sexy time, but yeah, that's pretty gross. But my point is that just the counterpoint of here's the truth about Trump. You know, you're playing the moral card. You can't really play the moral card with a guy. Well, what about your guy? And that person felt completely vindicated in that discussion. I'm like, you have made no fucking point. You've not
right,
that's given for example. I don't want to discuss that specific issue. Just no. For example,
it's classic deflection.
Yes, and it's working way too well across the board.
But the problem is it's used everywhere. Liberals
yes,
use it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Across the board, liberal and conservative. It's just people are getting so simple in their fucking arguments, and it's hurting us as a country.
Agreed. You hope that...
That's why we're here. That's what we're doing.
Right. You hope that we can come back to not only a more civil conversation, but a conversation...
A deeper, more logical conversation.
Well, of higher intellect, of not just, well, this is my point, and if you don't agree with it, then I'm either going to call you a name or I'm going to deflect to another topic. Those are the kind of two default settings right now for everyone. I agree with me, and if you don't agree with me, you're a something-something-ist or just an asshole or a liar.
Or you don't know better because
you don't know.
You're brainwashed. Oh, really? I'm brainwashed.
Right. Or here's a deflection, something that has nothing to do with what you brought up, but since I don't have a good answer to it, here's something else. And those are the two biggest things that you have to battle right now, and trying to pull people into a narrow conversation just about a particular topic where you debate the issues and the facts. The right. Facts, not opinions, not speculation, but just the facts. That's where people get in trouble with their basic arguments.
But I mean, a perfect example is climate change. Climate change is an issue.
I don't want to go there.
No, hold on. All right.
That we have Sarah Huckabee Sanders, right?
All right.
She's your...
She's Sean Spicer's tag team partner. She tags and
she is the
Mike Huckabee's.
She's the junior press secretary, right? Junior press secretary.
Sean Spicer's tag team partner. When he can't take it, he tags her. And she jumps in.
Sean Spicer got a promotion, and then she's eventually going to be the whatever. Anyway, but besides that, we don't have to debate the logistics of what her position is. She's the one talking to the media right now, the White House press pool. And she has a press conference where she says, everyone should look at this video that's produced by this conservative right-wing nutcase. I don't know if it's true or accurate, but if it is true, then that is a shame. Right? Like, go look at this.
I didn't see this.
Right? She's talking about, there was a video put out by a guy who's notorious, and I'm not even going to mention his name because I can't stand him, but he's far right, super conservative.
You just called names. I'm just going to say you did.
I didn't say his name.
No, you called names. You called him a nutbag.
This guy.
That's fine. I'm just saying next time you call me out.
No. I mean, this guy is legitimately crazy.
All right.
Probably should be medicated, but he puts this video out, and it's a, you know, an expose where he had a conversation He recorded someone and then, you know, edited the video and then edited it out and said, see, you know, the people from CNN are, you know, they don't care about the people and they're lying and it's all fake news and blah, 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 blah. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders goes and says, go look at that video by this guy. Right. Now, I don't know if it's accurate or true, but if it is true, it's an outrage. And it's like, well, what if it's not true? Then isn't that like inflammatory propaganda?
You see problems, I see opportunity.
Well,
let's have Whiskey Congress for it. If it's true that Donald Trump
is that she then, like, she is sitting in front of the press pool, right? So what she says, the press is going to report. So she says, hey, go out, right? It's a silent call to the base. Go watch this person's video. And if it's true, wink, wink, it is.
Without me owning it.
Right. So I don't have to. Because I know that this guy is crazy. I know it's probably not accurate. But I can protect myself by saying, if it's true, then it's X, Y, and Z. So then what happens is the base goes out. They watch this video and they say, well, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said it's true. It is true. And
I mean, this is pizza. I don't even know what you're talking about, but this is Pizzagate all over again.
I'm disappointed you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm used to you being disappointed.
Fair.
In me. All right. Let's move on to the travel ban because we've gone way long.
We have gone too long, which I didn't want to do. I told you.
I know.
Travel ban. Honestly, not a lot to say about it. Well, here's my thing.
Okay.
Didn't cause really much of an issue in the airports. There were lawyers lined up and advocates lined up and there were people protesting, but it didn't really. Please.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No.
Apparently this was important. So please jump in.
I did.
And finish your story.
All right. So the travel ban got weakened. I would say it no longer became a ban. It was a restriction. Elements of it were hung up in the Supreme Court. So this is like for real, this is playing for keeps. But, certain things that were in the original travel ban that may or may not have been called a Muslim ban.
What do you mean it was called a Muslim ban by president and his administration?
And then it wasn't. Some of the things that were just flat out destructive, like, hey, if you're from a country where we're engaged in military activities.
I don't want to relitigate that. I just want to talk about what happened. All right. Most people by now are aware of what the old travel ban was. The new travel ban says you have to have a bona fide relationship with a person that is a citizen of the United States now if you want to enter the country on visa status. If you don't, you have to wait 90 days. And if you're a refugee, you have to wait 120 days. Bona fide relationship being defined as you are married to someone. Your mother and father are here. Your son or daughter is here. Your fiancé, which was changed late in the game, but if you have a fiancé that you can prove is here. Also, if you have a job offer here or you are to begin attending school here, those are bona fide relationships. Having a hotel reservation is not a bona fide relationship. Having a friend here isn't. An aunt or uncle isn't. What else? Owning
the
property.
It's flat out ban people like the original one.
No, I think it's important to define what the variations and what the word bona fide is supposed to mean. Because there are a lot of people who didn't know what it means. We had Dave from Philly sent me a text. What does this mean? What is a bona fide relationship? It had just come out. I was, you know, I remember I was at work. And I had kind of seen, you know, what was said. And then I get this text and I'm like, Dave, I don't know, bro. I'm literally at work getting punched in the face by this project. And so I sent him just kind of a quick idea of what I thought it was. And I went back and whew, I was right.
I was left out of this conversation, which means I'm glad I was left out of this conversation.
But then I was able to fill it, you know, I was able to fill it in by looking at what the court said and everything else. And listen, I'm not that upset about this. I'm really not. because I was annoyed with it initially.
Please clarify. You're not upset with the Supreme Court ruling or the...
The ruling.
Okay.
I'm not
upset. So the way it plays out. So the original thing is one thing, but how it ultimately gets
administered.
I just wanted to hear that.
Right. How it ended up being administered, I'm not that upset about, because what we're looking at, whether you want to admit it or not, there needs to be a higher level of vetting that goes on. We need to be consistent with our level of vetting. I don't want to say a higher level of vetting, because what's in place right now, if we enforce what's in place right now, we don't have to enforce anything more. Okay, we don't need to make the rules any stricter in terms of the vetting process. We just need to enforce what's there. Right, and we need cooperation from the countries on the other side. I think it makes sense to vet people coming into the country.
Of course.
Okay, I believe that. I believe it makes sense to vet. It makes sense to vet the people coming into the country, right? We agree with that.
When I did work in Canada, the hoops I had to jump through to do work, now that was work.
It doesn't, you know what, but trying to get into Canada, if you're an American citizen and you have a DUI, can you get into Canada?
No. Not without exceptions. It's a real pain in the ass.
The answer is no. You can't. There's a certain amount of time that has to pass.
As a citizen without tremendous pull, no.
Right. Okay. Do we complain about that here? I mean, it's piss. You can't go over there and gamble, or you can't go to Toronto and see the beautiful city, or you can't go hunting or whatever it is you'd like to do, or skiing or whatever.
Right. No, but
you can't get in.
I know people who've been turned away at the border.
I do too. Right, I know plenty of people. I mean, there've been droves. I know a lot of people who've been turned away at the border for different reasons. But
it was something like that. Yeah, had a DUI. Right. Any infraction that was
right. Did you get in a bar fight when you were in college? When you were 21, and then you try to go to Canada for work when you're 26, and then you can't go because it's still showing up on your record. Oh, really? I mean, that's what it takes to get into Canada from the United States. Okay, and what people are really, really pissed about are people coming from countries, people coming from anywhere, right, that want to come in. And listen, we want to know more about you. We want to know more about your background.
Right.
Now, the problem that Trump had.
There are inconsistencies, though, right?
There are inconsistencies, which I'm going to, that's the biggest problem. There were inconsistencies, and you couldn't get away from the overtly racist undertones from the campaign trail that carried over into the White House. That's what got Trump and his administration in trouble, right? It's also what got them elected. So they were caught in a catch-22.
By in trouble, you mean into the highest office in the land.
Right. Well,
you're right.
But what I'm saying, it got him in trouble.
I'm being snarky, but not towards you. Right. I mean, towards the reality.
Right. I mean, it got him in trouble because there were, you had plenty of democratically appointed judges who were saying, listen, I just listened to you this whole time. Tell me that you can't, you want to ban all Muslims and that Muslims are bad and Islam is bad and blah, 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 blah. Like, this reeks of racism, right? I think even in one of the decisions, they said it was dripping overtly with racism.
Racism is not overtly banned by the Constitution. Discrimination based on religion is.
Right. Exactly. So where the Trump administration really, all they had to do, right, instead of all, if you take away the campaign aspect, if they say we're going to enforce the laws that are already in place, we're going to force Homeland Security, we're going to force TSA, we're going to force all these different agencies that protect our borders to enforce the laws that are in place. This is the executive order is, these are the laws already written on the books, right? No challenge. Whatever. So these are the laws. This is what's written. This is on the books. Enforce them, right? The fullest extent of the law. And if you do that, right, you're still going to get people pissed off. You're still going to get people who challenge it legally just because, for some reason,
this is the sanctuary city argument, like,
right? It's not fair, and it's not what America was built on, and blah blah blah. I get all that,
right?
But from Trump's standpoint, you got a whole hell of a lot better chance of just winning that argument if you say, we're just going to enforce what's there, period. Right? The executive order said, everyone enforce the law as it's written, the end. And if you don't, then, there's a penalty to you.
And there's one point that I can't let not get said, and that is the countries that were chosen for the travel ban, travel restriction, whatever, you can make cases why those countries are risks, why there are threats, but there's a whole lot of equally or more threatening countries out there that escaped because of
Saudi
social
Arabia.
Yes.
And I don't disagree with you.
I mean, you can't.
But I just I know the thorn in your ass of Saudi Arabia. Actually have that thorn if you actually looked at Saudi Arabia, what they do and how they operate, right?
Other than the human rights violations, the fact that they put a fake religious government on top of people to oppress them and then use that to do whatever the fuck they want because they happen to have oil. If you can ignore all that, then hey, we're cool. But all right, I couldn't let that go without getting said.
And that's fair. You should.
All right.
So travel ban, check.
Yes. Something you brought to my attention that frankly I don't know a lot about is that the Trump administration sent federal agents into Chicago. You texted this to me. I was running around like a maniac all week. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You don't have to apologize for being busy because you have a job. That's okay. All right. But what I will say is Trump had talked about this during the campaign. He talked about it after he was elected and inaugurated. And then he did it. He pulled the trigger on it. There are people out there who are upset. But let's look at what he actually did. He sent in 22 federal agents from different agencies to join a task force to help control gun violence in Chicago. Now, what we know is our buddy, Mike Wood, probably is not happy with this. And I don't know.
I don't know. We should reach out to him.
I know that we
just talked to him last week.
Yeah, maybe a tweet to him to find out his thoughts on it. I don't think he would like it. I know for a fact that he wouldn't. But my point is right now in that city, you have a crisis. And maybe civilian-led policing would help Chicago. I don't know. But right now, we're not close to that. We're not ready. They're clearly not ready for it. And so what does this do? Now, 22 agents in Chicago.
That's a drop in the bucket, let's be fair.
That's right. And I think it's more of a not a symbol, but it's more of a
symbolic gesture.
Now, 22 well-trained federal agents in that area.
Depending on their roles.
And we don't know their roles and specifics. They're not going to give us that. If their roles, though, are to get to the root of where are the, you know, if you have gangs being armed with semi and fully automatic weapons, or handguns that they can't get otherwise, that they can't, you know, like, then maybe going in and finding out where the guns are coming from, if that's the agent's role, I don't have a problem with
that. I don't have a problem at all.
Right? If their role is to go into and figure out where the heart and the brain of some of these, you know, these gangs are,
and these drug cartels,
I mean, where the drugs are coming in, who's ordering some of the violent hits that are happening, that are getting people, innocent civilians, caught in the crosshairs, if that's their job.
Or where politicians are corruptly being...
Right.
The idea that the feds would stick their nose in does not bother me at all. I think we're both cynical because of who's doing it.
I have concerns about it because the fear is that it's just going to be a crackdown on black males walking the street, and it's going to be a round them up, beat them up, slam them down, shoot them if you have to, you know, ask questions later sort of deal. Right. That's my fear. My fear is that it's not going to be strategic. It's not going to be a surgical strike to get at the heart of the problem. It's going to be dark face walking around on the south side of Chicago, round them up, throw them in jail. We'll chump up the charges. We'll take them to the black site. We'll do whatever. And we'll do whatever it takes to get the violence to calm down. And then we'll sort it out. We'll sort it out after the fact.
Even more scary, Steve, is to crack down, make a political stand, and do no actual good what we don't want is to worsen the
relationship between the citizens and the police, right? We want to grow that relationship. We want the people to feel safe, like they can go to the police and say, I know who did X, I know who did Y, or this is what I heard and this is what I saw. What you don't want is the police joined with the feds that come in as an occupying force and make a bad situation worse.
I agree. That's terrifying.
That increased tension, That's the fear, and I have no idea where this is going. I don't know what the Fed's roles are. I don't know if I have no idea. We don't know enough details, and all we can do is kind of watch and wait and see where it goes, because this could go. This could go very right. If they're really there from an investigative standpoint to get to the heart of the problem, then good. If they're there just to go carte blanche and go just, you know, Gestapo, then that's not good.
That's not good.
And that's going to make a bad situation worse.
And we do have an attorney general who's thrown out some scary language. Like,
well, scary language that we've heard before.
Right, well, we've heard before, but he's amped it up. We need to be a law and order state. I'm guessing that put some specific thoughts in your head. It certainly does mine. I had a conversation yesterday in a wealthy Cleveland suburb about, well, is it legal or not? Friends from years ago visiting from Colorado hung out with them in a...
Talking about what?
Weed. But same thing. It was just like, you know, what can the federal government do? What they can do is...
Oh, I'll tell you what they can do.
They can do all kinds
of... You can sit here and we can legalize it in Ohio. We can literally legalize it and say you can walk down the street smoking a blunt. We could say in the state of Ohio, you know, John Kasich could come out and say you can roll yourself a blunt and you can walk down the street and smoke it all you want, right? And it'll be legal and we'll high five and the police will high five and it'll be all good and fine and great. And the DEA can roll in here, slam you on the ground, arrest you, take you to big boy federal jail, and you're not going to have really much of an argument. Well, John Kasich said, and they'll say, yeah, but Donald Trump didn't say it.
Right.
So
you're in Fort Leavenworth, not in Mansfield Correctional, so exactly. Good luck with that.
Right.
So
I did the head tap.
You
didn't see the head tap?
I did not see the signal. Sorry.
Signal. The time signal. I told you. That's what I wanted to
know. You know what? Stop it.
Listen,
there's so much more to get to, but let's close it down and get back on.
There's a lot to get to, so we're going to do a part two. We'll talk a little bit. We'll get a little bit more into some societal issues and some sports. We still have, you know, Jay-Z's album release.
Let's lob that out there. So I haven't gotten to listen to it.
Neither of us have gotten to listen to it because neither of us have Tidal.
Right.
And we didn't have it. Actually, I have it now, but I got it after the after release of the album and Jay-Z.
That's good marketing. That's good marketing. But all right, so Jay-Z released a song about OJ. I cannot wait to do like hours with you about OJ.
Okay, we're not going
to
do hours.
No, not
okay,
today.
We're not going to do hours.
Not today.
Not today.
We will talk about OJ to me encapsulates so many things about race in America, and you know I've wasted hours and hours of my life, and I want to share that waste of time with you, our listeners. You'll enjoy it. Yeah, good work. Again, there's a reason I'm not in sales. But anyway, man, good talk.
Just to kind of preview what we still have on the board, we have, again, the conversation about Jay-Z and his album. We have the former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, had some words of wisdom for Donald Trump. We've got, you know,
let's wrap that up.
The NBA in general.
John McEnroe and Serena Williams. I can't wait to talk about that.
Keyshawn Johnson pulling his son out of Nebraska.
I don't know that story as well as I should, so I look forward to hearing about that.
So those are some of the things coming up on part two of this. Stick around.
The NRA and Jim might have a little bit of a dust up again, but we can get there.
There we go.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, anyway, this has been a session of Whiskey Congress. Steven, I enjoyed it.
Absolutely, same.
We've been drinking Cleveland whiskey. We are at Whiskey Congress on pretty much every social media. You can email me at jim@whiskeycongress.com. You can email Steve at steve@whiskeycongress.com. Twitter, Instagram, iTunes,
Stitcher,
Google. We're out there. And YouTube is available on video. Let's shut it down. Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening, guys.